It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and Michelle.
That's us.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where two adult daughters... Look, we just couldn't think of an intro. It's a day after Thanksgiving. We've got a lot on our plate, literally and figuratively. Okay, we couldn't think of a clever intro.
I ate too much turkey. I'm Jasmine.
And I'm Michelle.
And we are just two full ladies.
Yep.
I literally still feel sick from yesterday from Thanksgiving.
Well, I ate so many green beans.
Oh, I ate zero things that were green. Really? Unless you count the celery that was in the stuffing.
Oh, I hate stuffing.
Oh, stuffing is my favorite.
No, stuffing killed my family.
I'm stuffed full of stuffing.
Oh!
I like how I didn't follow up on how stuffing killed your family.
We begin today with breaking news.
More details about Disneyland's refurbishment of Snow White's Scary Adventure have been released.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. Go on.
New technology will be integrated into the ride, and the exterior of the attraction will be refreshed as well. The ride is promised to now be less scary a happy ending. The ride will be closing January 6, 2020 for the refurb.
I literally, when I saw this announcement, I'm like, less scary. I'm like, oh, good. Now Jasmine will be happy.
I still will probably be scared.
Okay, so explain to me, because I don't understand what's scary about it.
I don't like that she, like, pops out at you. Like, I don't like that the queen turns around, and I don't like that she comes out of that little moat, and I don't like that she comes out of the house, and there's little alligators or crocodiles. I don't know where they're from on the ground. I think it's Germany, but they don't have either in Germany, so I don't know.
I think if you watch the film, you find out that it was just Snow White's imagination, and really it was logs.
It was in a snow globe the whole time.
Isn't that the way Twin Peaks ends?
No, not Twin Peaks, St. Elsewhere.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all in a child's snow globe.
So
spoilers.
Weird.
Yeah. It's one of the most famous endings of all time because it's so weird.
How does Twin Peaks end?
Twin Peaks, well, okay, so if you do the first two seasons, technically it was canceled, so it doesn't really end. But if you do the whole show, like the show that just came out a few years ago.
Do you know that Bob Iger ruined that show?
He did?
Yeah.
He canceled it?
Kind of.
Oh, he's the one that made...
what's his name? Fred Flintstone? What's the director's name?
Oh, David Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made him tell who Laura Palmer's killer was, because really there was never supposed to... You were never supposed to know.
That's why the first season's perfect and the second season's not.
Right.
Yeah, no, that really did. Oh, Bob Iger did that.
Yeah, Bob Iger made him.
He ruined it.
Yeah.
He ruined my peaks.
Yep. That sounds like your boobs.
My peaks.
He ruined my peaks.
That's my Twin Peaks.
Oh!
The show, it's hard to, I can't really say, like, it ended like this. Like, the girl who, spoilers for Twin Peaks, maybe.
I don't know why you would watch it. For me, two thumbs down. I watched every episode of the first two seasons, and I was excited for the third season. Then I watched half of it, and then I've never been on acid, but I imagine that's what it feels like.
I actually agree. I thought you were gonna say you didn't like Twin Peaks at all. I'm like, no, the first two seasons are pretty good.
The first two seasons.
Well, the first season's great.
The first season was really great. The second season I wasn't a fan of, and the third season I was a fan of even less.
The third season I was just like, oh, okay.
I'm like, what?
So, like, Laura Palmer is not really dead, or it's her doppelganger that was murdered, or that she wasn't murdered, but she's alive, but maybe.
She was in a prostitution ring. But
it was her doppelganger, maybe? I don't know. I'm still confused. I read books about it, too, that reveal a lot more information, and there's aliens involved, and there's good aliens and bad aliens.
And they're all Scientologists.
Yes. And David Lynch is just like, You fell for it. That's what he sounds like.
Weird.
He has like a high-pitched voice.
Weird.
So back to Snow White.
Right.
So I think they're gonna have a happy ending now. So she's gonna have, like, you know now how it ends, you just die.
The queen just dies. So now Snow White's gonna, like, live in a condo that she owns
with,
like, a dog.
Yes.
And, like, her and the prince are, like, taking it slow.
Yes.
Because
she's 14.
Right. Yeah. But she lives on her own.
Yeah. She lives on her own. She's been emancipated. She's saving up to buy a second condo to rent. Right now, she just has a roommate.
Good for her.
That are three of the dwarves. Not all seven of them, obviously.
No, that's ridiculous.
No. And she bought stakes in the diamond mine.
Oh,
yes.
Good for her.
So she's saving up, and the animals clean up for her. She, like, if Cinderella can have animals that clean up, why can't I?
I mean, go for it, girl.
I'm sure, I don't know if it will be significantly less scary. I doubt it's going to change that much.
Really? I think it's going to change completely.
Because it makes it sound, because I read the Disney release, like, it's going to be mostly, like, technology upgrades. So does that just mean, like, projections.
But if they're making it less scary, okay, this is what I think. Because if you watch, if you go through the ride, it's mostly like in the dungeon.
Yes.
And I think they're, I basically think they're going to redo the, maybe not the track, but I think they're going to lay do the layout and scenes differently. So this is my just guessing. If you're saying it's going to be non-scary and it's going to have a happy ending, I think it's going to be more like The Little Mermaid where it's like, happiness, happiness. Here's a mildly scary part. More happiness.
Because it said less scary, but not totally not scary. But right. Yes. I like their terminology, like very vague.
Yeah.
So, four late-night events have been announced for Disneyland and DCA in 2020. The four themed nights will be 80s Night on January 29th, featuring the return of Videopolis. Sweetheart, she's, because we're going to be in Orlando. I just told her that today.
I'm so bummed.
I really wanted to go, too. Everyone's like, oh, I'm only going to do 80s Night.
I'm because the other ones sound lame.
Yes, Sweetheart's Night on February 12th and 13th. Why is that one on two nights?
Right.
Pixar Night on March 5th and Villains Night on April 30th.
You mean Halloween?
Yes. Halloween Part 2 in April. Tickets are $109 and are on sale now by the time this podcast comes out, unless they're already sold out. And the last two are at DCA. The first two are at Disneyland. Yeah. I just am really bummed we can't go to 80s Night because I want to go dance at Videopolis.
I wanted to go to Video in honor of Michael Eisner and Brett, I wanted
And Jade.
I wanted to go to Videopolis.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sad.
That was the definite, because I was like, oh, maybe I can go to Sweetheart's Night and just make people feel awkward and uncomfortable because I'm by myself.
You should bring your Duffy Bear.
I should bring my Duffy Bear in various costumes.
Yes, like we're in a very committed relationship.
It's like, don't judge me and my Duffy.
That's right.
My Shelly May.
That's right.
It's very consensual.
And it's very liberal.
It is. If you don't accept this, that means you're not woke.
Oh.
You are asleep.
Like Snow White.
Oh! So if you can go to 80s Night, enjoy it for us.
Enjoy it for us.
Or Disney, maybe move it by a week.
Yeah.
And then
up
we can
go.
Up or
down. Then
either
we can
way.
Go.
It's literally smack dab in the middle of when we're in Orlando. Reason to change. No, I'm kidding. Not for the world.
No.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
So Disney just announced that the Tron Light Cycle track is now complete at the Magic Kingdom.
Hooray!
So it'll probably still be a while till they open it up because they have to build the building around it.
Uh-huh.
They built the track first, then they build the building.
Well, part of it is outside.
Oh,
kind
like
of.
The one in Shanghai.
I mean, I think they're doing the exact same thing.
Like,
as
we
far
already,
as I know.
We already have the plans. Might as well just.
Yeah. I mean, waste not, want not.
Exactly. I'm just excited they're going to have it. I do feel bad for Space Mountain because it's like you could go on this brand new technologically advanced roller coaster
or
this
Space
one.
Mountain.
And like I love Space Mountain, but the one in Orlando is
terrible.
Is from 1952,
being held together by gum and a prayer. Oh, we're halfway there. Oh, being held together by some gum.
I chewed it myself.
Gross. Yeah. I am excited because I think it will give it'll give Tomorrowland some like zhuzh and hopefully some direction.
Mm-hmm. I like zhuzh and direction.
Yeah, and I think that if you take the Splash Mountain footprint, Space Mountain footprint, and also like they have this whole like undercarriage, but like under it's like a far walk in, and then I feel like there's a big footprint there that they could put something cool and innovative and neat. Plus, you have, I mean. Come on, Carousel of Progress.
I want to go on
TikTok.
It, though.
I know, but...
Bring it back to Disneyland.
No, do not bring it back to Disneyland. I think it could go in Epcot. I think it... Or it can stay there, maybe, like, on Main Street of seeing, like, this is historic.
Yeah.
But I think in Tomorrowland, it's just very outdated.
Well, yeah, because isn't the future scene, like, now?
Yeah.
It was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I want to go see it, then they can take it down, but I want to see it at least once.
No, it'll be there in January.
Oh, good. Hopefully they won't close it, because so many things are going to be closed when we go.
Really?
I'm really worried that, like, Spaceship Earth might not be open by the time we go, because it's going to close sometime in 2020, so I'm assuming January. If Snow White's closing January 6th, I don't know why I correlated the two. But...
Yeah, I was about to say I don't know, but
yeah.
Okay.
Because it is technically the, quote, down season, so.
Well, Disneyland doesn't really have a down season anymore.
No.
I think Disney World does, because they go... From my experience, they go more by East Coast, like children's school schedules.
Yes.
But
schedules.
Shudgies. But I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. If anyone knows for sure, I haven't seen anything official. I just know it's early 2020. So maybe February could be early 2020 or March. you know, just open it for just for me and Horizons. Just build it again.
Oh, okay.
You have like a month, Disney.
I think it would be so cool if for VR stuff, someone could recreate yes. all these attractions, like photorealistic. So you could just experience mm-hmm. them.
That would be awesome.
Right?
I mean, I'd rather have Journey into Imagination, but if I can't, like, at least do this.
I know. I really, super sidebar, but mm-hmm. just break, like, it was so retro-futuristic. Mm-hmm. It's so timeless.
Yes.
And people like it.
Yes.
And even non-Disney fans, mm-hmm. it's a better story. Just bring mm-hmm. it. I almost feel yeah. like someone's being stubborn. Like, mm-hmm. we won't bring it back.
We're it's doubling
like,
down.
Yeah, it's like, no, please.
Does anyone like Mission Space that much? Test Track is fine. I get people like Test Track, but
I get that kids like Test Track because
yeah.
they're driving.
Yes.
Not driving, but like the
pretending
car experience.
To drive. Yeah.
Mission Space, I remember when Mission Space opened. It was so cool, but I am so over simulators.
I don't even know if I want to go on the spinning one. I want to go on the one that doesn't move.
Okay.
I'd rather not barf.
Yeah.
I mean, fine. I don't plan on going into space. I don't want to yell at the moon. 30 Rock joke. You dumb moon.
It's daytime. Don't you know what time it is?
So yeah, Disney, if you're listening, bring back all these rides, please, and thank you.
Please.
So the website Cameo, and so I asked Michelle, I said, did she know what Cameo is?
Well, first you asked if I knew what TikTok
yeah,
was,
and then
and
I had a brain fart, and I met Cameo. You're like, yeah, I post stuff on there all the time.
Yeah, I was like, do you not look at my Instagram stories?
Like, you lied when you said you watched all my TikToks.
How dare you?
So the website Cameo, and so Cameo is a website where you can go on, and they have certain celebrities, and you can pay them a fee depending on how much they charge, and they will give you a personalized message for either yourself or the person of your choice about whatever you want. They have to approve it, so you, like, if there was something, like, morally compromising, they wouldn't do it.
You could ask, like, Bill Gates to be like,
yes.
Capitalism is a lie!
Like, Susan Egan was on there, so I'm like, oh, if I had more money, I would have her be like, hey, Michelle, you're Belle, I'm Belle, let's be Belles, I don't know.
Yeah.
So this website and Universal have
Okay, but sidebar.
Yes.
So I have met her several times, and one of the conversations really went like that.
Hey, Belle. I'm also Belle.
Yeah, and we were talking about hoop skirts and dancing.
And you're like, ding, dong. And then you
Yeah,
just
we're
bells.
Talking about, like, arm move. It was just like, oh, this is a very Belle conversation. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You're like, that's what my heaven is like.
Yeah.
So the website Cameo and Universal have partnered to offer a free custom greeting from the Grinch. It's free, as I said, and you can book until December 18th. Or, no, sorry, December 8th, and I requested one for us.
Oh.
I haven't gotten it yet. I was hoping I'd have it today so I could surprise you with it. But so, yeah, I asked him to talk about podcast because you can put what you want them to talk about. So I said, like, Grinch, we have a podcast. What do you think about podcasts? So I'm very curious to see. It might just be super generic because I bet they're getting thousands of these.
I hope it's like, hello, Jasmine and Michelle. I think that podcasts are terrible.
They're the worst. I don't know how the Grinch talks.
Sincerely, the Grinch.
So once we get that, I will put it on our Instagram because I want everyone to see it. Right. I'm very curious. But yeah, if you want it, it will be until the 8th. You can request one for free. Because
right.
Universal's like, promotion. I feel bad for all the Grinch actors who have to stay late.
The Grinchsters.
The Grinchsters who have to stay late recording, like, our stupid things we come up with.
Like, hello, Snahal.
Snuffleupagus.
And then you're like, these are fake names. It's like, no, he came with a driver's license. People
we
just got
it.
Real liberal with their naming of children. Hi, Bookcase.
Or Sandstorm. But that's
more
that's
of
a boy's
name.
So, Michelle, what have you been watching on Disney Plus?
Just The Imagineering Story. It's been a long mm-hmm. week, so it got away from me.
Yeah.
But I will try to watch more.
So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of classics, like Peter Pan, my favorite, 101 Dalmatians, which is more depressing than I realized.
Really?
It's just, like, the whole middle of that movie. It's kind of like Lilo and Stitch, where the whole middle of the movie, you're like, oh, these are just, like, they kidnapped all these dogs, and they're hungry, and the one chubby puppy
Rolly.
Is hungry. Like, I'm like, oh, this is, and, like, the dog is, like, the Pongo's, like, starving and, like, trying to save his kids, and, like,
ugh.
Yeah, it's, like, as a kid, you don't realize, like, oh, this is, like, now that, like, you have to, like, deal with real life, you're like, oh, this is so sad.
Aww.
I've been watching, I watched Home Alone and Home Alone 2.
Lost in New York.
Yes. This is the height of luxury. I'm not going to lie. I watched it 90% of John Mulaney, but those are good movies.
Those are good movies.
And I didn't realize, I always thought Macaulay Culkin's character was supposed to be a bad kid, but he actually has like a really good heart.
Yeah.
Like he helps the homeless lady. He's nice to the old man who lives next door. He's just trying to and the people are horrible people.
Yeah.
They're like trying to murder him. Yeah. So
my, have you ever watched, yeah. there's like a Mythbusters where they mm-hmm. went through and like, oh gosh. Those guys should have been dead. Like Kevin McAllister is a murderer. Because they were like, if you mm-hmm. had a paint can and they did the math, they yeah. were like at, let's say halfway mm-hmm. full at, because it's obviously been used.
Yeah.
Right. So halfway full at that angle, hitting someone in the uh-huh. face, they would have been dead.
From that alone.
Or, no, I think, like, from the knob, like, uh-huh. that when he turns it and he burns his yes. hand. And it's, like, that would have, like,
yes.
yeah. Oh, man. That's pretty funny. Someone edited it as, like, Kevin really murdering them. That was not funny. That was gory. But the science behind it of, like, oh, no, you should be dead. That's so funny.
And it's funny because that's what people remember for that movie. That's, like, the last 20 minutes. That's the finale of the movie.
Yeah.
Most of the movie is just, like, he's alone and has to go to the grocery store.
And he buys mac and
yes,
cheese.
Yes.
And he's, like, Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof.
Which I take offense to because she looks like me.
No, she doesn't. She looks like Buzz in a wig.
That just might be Buzz in a wig.
Guys, Jack. Breaking news, Jasmine is Buzz in a wig.
But yeah, they're good movies. They're good Christmas movies.
Have you seen the third one with Scarlett Johansson?
No, I haven't seen. Oh, I didn't know she was in it. I didn't. It is not the height of luxury, no. So I didn't watch it. So the Imagineering story this week was about, it was called Hit or Miss, and it was about mostly misses. So it was just kind of, I like how they're real. They're like, yeah, DCA was not good.
It's still not good.
The park in Paris was kind of like, We had to do something. And how...
But I like how they talked mm-hmm. about the cruise line.
Yes. That was a success. That was a hit.
Yeah. It was like one hit mm-hmm. and a swing and a miss.
It's a lot of misses. We were talking earlier about how Michael Eisner's like, hey, I know I messed up a lot, but like the company was profitable. We're like, silver lining, buddy.
Yeah.
Silver lining.
Also, what is he wearing? Is he yeah. in a Joe Jackson lookalike contest? What he looks like he's dating some 27-year-old Instagram yeah. star and like he's trying to keep up with her. I'm like, what are you wearing?
I didn't know he had a heart attack. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I just like he's like, yeah, between Frank's death, my heart attack, I just couldn't deal with Disney's America.
Yeah. And I was like when they started talking about mm-hmm. that, you can ask Dale, I was screaming. I was like that gif of Stewie in the car where he's like jumped like in all different places. Like that was me.
You even called me, but I was at lunch with my parents.
Well, and, good, because you just would have heard vindication.
And I like that Kim Irvine was like, yeah, Paul Bunyan? Not Bunyan, the guy who ran Disney parks for a while who people didn't like, and then he went on to go do The Gap. I remembered his name earlier, and now I'm forgetting
yeah,
it again.
I
the guy who ran Disney Parks, who cut the budgets a lot, they're just like, yeah, we did not like him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I did the best I could.
Did you?
Yeah. And I like that Angela Bassett was like, yeah, he went to go work for The Gap. Like, yeah, he came from, I'm like, so you went from merchandising to running the Disney Parks back to merchandising.
Gap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, okay. Yeah, I'm excited for you to watch the rest of it. I have to watch The Mandalorian episode 4.
Yeah. Who got you into Mandalorian?
You. And I'm not super happy with the Baby Yoda merch that's come out so far.
Okay. The Baby Yoda merchandise that has come out, they mm-hmm. literally went to, not Zamzar, but like.
They went to like Redbubble.
Right.
And they were like,
yeah, they're like, here's this one picture of Baby Yoda. I was like, oh, good job,
yeah.
y'all.
And I'm like, did you really not do it because of the spoilers? Or did you not do it because you didn't realize, hey, they had to have known he was going to be a big character, though. Like, I don't know. That's a debate. Sometimes when people say things so like, oh, no, we knew. We just didn't want spoilers to be out there. I'm like.
Baloney.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't have Star Wars toys.
Yep.
The Mandalorian is looking at us right now. He's in our recording room.
Hello, Mandalorian.
Hello, Mandalorian.
Hello, rawr, cat sounds. My mom, I was talking to her today. She's like, do you want me to buy you like a Baby Yoda thing? I'm like, Mom, they haven't come out with good stuff yet. She's like, do I have to? I'm like, no, Mom, you don't have to buy me that.
Your mom's like. Baby Yoda?
A lot of people are taking the like mini Yoda plushies and passing them off as Baby Yoda things. Like, I was looking up, like, there was a gift guide I was looking at, and it's, like, Baby Yoda merch. And one of the things was literally, like, buy this, it was, like, mini little plush of Yoda. I'm like, no, that's clearly old Yoda. It's just, like, a mini version of
A mini version of Yoda does not equal Baby Yoda.
No, no. Baby Yoda, this is not.
Yeah.
speaking of Baby Yoda, we're going to do part two of our Universal Tram Tour today.
Yes.
I'm getting really good at transitions. These transitions, they really make you think. So last week we talked about all the tram stuff that is no longer with us. This week we're going to talk about all the tram events that are still there and the backlot things that are still there as of December 2019.
That's for you, Lauren.
Yeah.
I got one comment saying that they liked my Frozen singing, and so I'm going to keep doing it, much to Jasmine's chagrin.
And this week you said you're excited because you can participate because you've done a lot of these things. One thing I realized today, I'm shocked you were never a Universal tour guide.
I'm Michelle's, offended.
But you would have been so good at it.
Well, first of all, I've seen like 4 movies in my entire life.
So have they.
Yeah. Ask me, just pick a bunch of movies and let's see if I've ever seen them. Go,
Frozen
go.
2.
Yes.
Frozen 1.
Yes.
Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, not Disney movies, Universal properties, Jasmine.
Pretty Woman?
Oh, I have seen that one.
Okay, we don't have time to think of these movies.
The Godfather, no.
I've only seen The Godfather once.
Never seen any of them. I've seen half of Jaws.
I've never seen Jaws.
What else? Earthquake, never seen it.
Oh, I've never seen Earthquake either.
Beetlejuice, I've seen it in pieces. I've never sat through the whole thing.
That's a good one. Beetlejuice is a good one.
The Mummy I've seen.
I haven't seen The Mummy.
Really?
Mm-mm.
It's good.
I haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies.
I saw Tokyo Drift because it had the word Tokyo in it.
Oh, wait. I did see one of them. I can't remember which one. I was, like, probably trying to impress a guy. And I went, like, as a group. Because I'm like, why would I go see one of the Fast and Furious movies?
Yeah, Dale had it. And he was like, let's watch Tokyo Drift. And I'm like, why? He's like, because Tokyo. I'm like, you make an excellent point.
Check and mate, sir.
Yeah.
So let's go on a tour of the backlot sets, shall we?
Okay.
Michelle's favorite thing. I love the backlot sets. I just always thought it was so cool because it was like, it's like Disney. It's immersion.
I'm
in
so
a different
bitter
world.
That I was never a real actor.
Oh.
Like, I was here and auditioning and I just want to be an actor.
When I was in film school, I got to work on the CBS lot and I've gotten to work on the Warner Brothers, but I've never gotten to work on the Universal lot.
I've been on.
Not as an actor, as like.
I've been on every lot or most lots in Los Angeles, either for auditions or tours or like, you know, somehow. And have booked 0 gigs.
I've gotten to go, not like as actually someone working Universal. Actually, I got to go to the prop warehouse, but I didn't like work on the back lots. Mm-hmm. I got to do Warner Brothers. I got to do CBS Branham. End of list.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if I didn't get to do any of the ones that were like far away, like the country ones or like the ones that all they've burned down recently that they're kind of by where Jenny Ray lives.
Oh,
yeah.
Fire.
Out in the hills. Yeah.
I wonder if this is going to be a theme of the episode.
We may mention some fire later. I know, Universal and fire. So there's Brownstone Street, which is that street that is full of brownstones.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the sets rebuilt after the 2008 fire.
Okay.
We're going to be mentioning a lot of fires today. So but if you have problems with fire,
bye.
Yeah, bye. Enjoy. Have a happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah. Great Thanksgiving.
See you next week.
Yeah. Click to the end, please, just to give us a listen.
Thank you.
Old New York. It's an old New York style street. It's been the filming location for The Sting, Annie, Seinfeld, Home Alone 2, and Bruce Almighty. Obviously more than this. These are just the things that stood out to me.
Okay.
It's an old street, has brownstones.
Cool.
Annie, but a lot of these were filmed in the old one. The new one's HD.
Oh, okay.
It looks similar though. They did it similarly.
Huh.
It's just Steven Spielberg was involved. He's like, yes, no.
Have you ever seen A Little Princess?
Yes. My friend was in that movie.
I love that movie.
My friend, Heather was the girl who was like the girl with red hair and glasses. Who's a
she's
friend.
She's so pretty.
Yeah, Heather Deloach. Yeah, she's a friend of mine.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, she was the bumblebee in the Blind Melon video. Yeah.
Good for
she's
her.
I think she does real estate now. Yeah, I haven't caught up with her in a while.
I should do real estate.
Yeah. You would
guys,
be really good at it.
You guys want to buy a house from me?
I would buy a house from you. I would buy an air fryer from you.
An air fryer, Jasmine.
Fryer like Friar Tuck. I also watched Robin Hood this week. And I forgot I was going to talk about how, did you have a crush on Robin Hood when you were a kid?
No, I had a crush on the Beast.
I mean, but like Robin Hood was like the first like, he had like some charm, some swagger. I always hear girls say they had a crush on Robin, and I'm yeah. like, I can see. I'm like, I did too.
Jennifer from Main Street UCI. Uh-huh. She had a crush on Robin.
Yes, I think Tiff did too. Because, you know, it's just like.
I think Cameron did too.
Yeah, Cameron did as well.
Calling you out, Cameron.
Yeah. He was just like a sexy fox.
I was all about the Beast. Mm. I just thought he was so. I'm a sucker for blue eyes.
And then he turned into a human and you're
like, I was like,
no.
Oh, change back, please. He was just like big and burly and mm-hmm. he has blue eyes and he was nice and he liked reading.
And he worked the ponytail unlike his human form.
That's right. His human form was like, I'll make this work. And Belle's like, maybe no.
She even makes that face. She's like,
she's like, good thing I don't care about looks.
I love you from the inside. So there's Colonial Street, aka Wisteria Lane. So this is where Wisteria Lane was.
Okay.
It's a neighborhood street. They have the Munster's house there, the house from Harvey's, obviously Desperate Housewives.
Is the Munster house still there?
Yeah, it's still there and still looks like the Munster house. What? That one they haven't changed that much. Yeah.
I don't remember that. I love the Munsters.
It's on the left. It's like one of the it's not the same color. I mean, it was in black and white. It like they disguised it a little more. So it's a little harder to spot, but it still has that kind of window thing, you know what I'm talking about.
I want a dollhouse made after the Munster house.
And you can have a Barbie be Marion and be mean to her.
And be like, get out of here, Marion.
There's one of the houses that I think it's the very last one on the street. Is it's a practical set, so you can film on the inside or outside.
Yeah, they say that mm-hmm. on the tram tour.
Oh, they do. Uh-huh. A lot of the new houses that are there are for Desperate Housewives, which has been off the air for forever. I just remember I was going to Universal a lot when that show was still on, and that was like the pride and joy. Like, we film Desperate Housewives here.
Even though it's an ABC show.
It's a really cool street. I've never gotten to walk around. I've done the VIP studio tour, and you don't get to walk around there.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, Michelle's looking at the Munster house.
Yeah. I want dollhouse.
That looks more like Beetlejuice's house. Oh, Adam's Family. So next we have Courthouse Square, which is obviously where they filmed Back to the Future.
Mind Beauty. From 30 Rock. What's that one with Jennifer Love Hewitt who was, and she talks
Party
to
of
Ghost?
Five? Ghost. Oh, Ghost Whisperer.
Yes.
They did. Murder, She Wrote and Ghost Whisperer, like, put their stink all over that back lot.
Oh.
Especially Murder, She Wrote. Like, they filmed every location. Murder,
Tom
She Wrote.
Bosley was on Murder, She Wrote. So there's two Beauty and the Beast connections. So Angela Lansbury, who's the voice of Mrs. Potts, and Tom Bosley, who in the original Broadway cast was... Maurice.
Do you know I saw Tom Bosley play Maurice
in the
Beauty and the Beast touring production?
I sure did, because you told me. And did you know that Dale saw Susan Egan when he was a little boy?
Oh, he is Susan Egan?
He is Susan. Guys, I'm married to Susan Egan.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
So it's currently there's a facade on the courthouse because they're trying to not make it look like the famous courthouse.
Come on.
Yeah. And so... Fun fact, the courthouse has survived several fires that have burned all the buildings around. So every fire that's happened has burned literally everywhere around there, but the courthouse survives.
Oh, I love that.
Because Doc Brown just he's trying he's to holding yeah, on. Holding on.
Because we need that courthouse because of John Mulaney jokes.
Yes. Even when I was a kid, they still had the Back to the Future sets there. They left that there for a long time.
Oh, I love Back to the Future so much.
It's just so good. I like to look at old pictures where they had like the water there. And I just want to like lay down there and be like, this is where I die. Spread my ashes there, Michelle.
Okay.
They also shot Hairspray the Musical because that was like great. Not the Zac Efron one, but the live one they did. I like that one and the Grease one because they use backlot sets. And so, like, as a fan of backlots, I appreciated that.
Meh.
Michelle is not amused. So next there is Denver Street, which was originally built in 1959, and the current set was constructed in 1967. Why? Because of a fire.
Oh.
In 1999, they used to have a stage shootout there. To make it more exciting, I guess.
Oh, so, they took a page out of Michael Eisner's GMR book.
Yes.
Great movie ride book.
Exactly. Like, have some live action, probably. I mean, it's just copying each other on a loop, basically, yeah. Universal and Disney. Next, we're going to Little Europe, and that is where The Good Place and Westworld have been filmed. Sets were built in 1967, again, after the fire. And it features several sections, including Court of Miracles. They can change the signs to say anything in any language, obviously. So I like Little Europe because that's where they filmed The Good Place. And the last time I was at Universal, they had a bunch of Good Place sets. I still think they have the yogurt sets up. So next we have Court of Miracles, which is a part of European Street. And it was used to shoot classical monster movies. Originally built in 1927. Again, the set is from 1967 because of fires. So a lot of these, it's impressive that some of them have been around since 1967. So I like Court of Miracles. I think it's just cool. It has a nice fountain in the middle.
I like
it's very scenic.
I like the Western place.
Yeah, the Western. Yeah, there's six points in Denver Street. 6 points, where it is now is not, I'll get to that, but it's not the original location. So when they say, lies. Oh, this is where they shot six Western movies. No, not there. It was like more in the front area.
But they did shoot six Western movies at once?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Huh. So next we have the Chicken Ranch, which is where they shot.
Chicken Run.
Chicken Run. Cover Your Children's Ears. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I'm surprised they left that title because titles have to be rated G. So I guess that is not an inappropriate word according to the whorehouse. It's the compound makes it better.
Oh, isn't that funny? Like some words like you can say. Never mind. Yeah. We're going to fall down a rabbit hole. We're going to get an M for mature.
Just like The Sims. Just kidding. So this is one of the few filming locations that's a practical set. It's like that Desperate Housewives set. Mm-hmm. You can shoot interiors and exteriors. It's a completely built house. Mm. They've shot many things there, none of which I wrote down.
Okay.
But yeah, Dolly Parton was there. That's all you need to know. Dolly was there. There's Mexican Street. So this section has the flash flood and has been the filming location for Community, which is a show I like that Michelle doesn't.
I do not like that
Westworld and Three Amigos.
So oh, Dale likes that.
And a Lady Gaga video was shot there.
And Big Fat Liar starring Frankie Muniz,
yes,
Amanda Bynes, and
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
The Paul Giamatti looking face.
I've never seen it, but they always show that clip.
They do.
On the Universal Tram Tour.
They always show Bruce Almighty clip. They show that. And then they show.
I've never seen Bruce Almighty either.
I've never seen Bruce Almighty either. I've seen the part where he's on Brownstone Street on the Universal Tour. Yes, they have not updated that since 1999.
A long time.
It's a really cool street, and it transitions into the Western Street. I just recognize scenes from, I think they shot a Pirates of the Caribbean movie there. I like, because in Westworld, I was like, oh, I know where that is.
Oh, so, I've never seen Westworld.
Oh, I love Westworld. It's
really?
Such a good show.
There's a girl named Dolores.
Yes, such a good show.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, James Marsden is in it, who's also in 30 Rock.
Yes.
And Enchanted.
He's delightful. Hmm. Yes. It's just such, I just
can I
like
your HBO Go.
Yes.
Okay.
I just all I'm going to say, cause I don't want to give anything away. It's such a good show.
Oh, okay.
So there's 6 Point Texas. So this is what we were talking about earlier. Consists of 6 Western themed streets that meet at a single point.
This street ain't big enough for the two of us.
And that's where they show that whole Jimmy Fallon thing where he's on one side, he's black and one side he's white, like dressed in white and dressed in black. And he's like having a fight with himself. And I'm like, do people think he's funny? But that's just my rule of Jimmy Fallon in general. No offense, but
he's from my hometown.
Yes.
Leave him alone.
He's no Conan O'Brien.
He's no Conan O'Brien, but it'll do.
It'll do. That'll do, pig. That'll do.
I wanted to say that, but I didn't want you to think I was saying you were a pig. I was just saying, like, yeah.
So in the silent film era, tourists would come and watch 6 different movies being filmed on 6 different film sets. Now, some people claim that this was like an urban legend, but I'm going to go with that's real because that just sounds awesome.
Cool.
But it was at the old location, not where it currently is.
Okay.
So the doorways there are built small to make heroes look more impressive. So they wanted to make the cowboys look like tall and like heroic, but they're probably like 5'6".
Yeah.
So they had to like make John Wayne look like a big tall man.
How tall was John Wayne?
I don't know. He was tall. I think he was a football star. Because, I mean, he wasn't a great actor, so
well,
I think they can.
He had a great speech pattern.
Also, they shot a Ronald Reagan movie on Colonial Street.
Was it Bedtime for Bonzo?
Yes, it was that one.
Was it really?
Yeah, Bonzo's House
of Horror.
Yeah, it was there, yeah. So I'm like, the Gipper was here.
Thank you, Lemon, but if you ever speak ill of Reagan again, I'll punch you in the face. That's not the right quote, but I went for it.
You committed, and that's all that matters.
Thank you.
So then there's New York Street, which is my personal favorite.
And mine as well.
Yeah, because you're like, I feel like I'm home.
NYC. Hey, where can a young prostitute get started in this city?
This burned down in the fires of 1957, uh-huh. 1990, yep. and 2008.
Oh.
The most recent version reopened in 2009. They shot one of the Spider-Man movies, not the new ones, but
like... I
thought
you were going to say Spice Girl music video. I'm like, oh my God, which one?
Most likely.
They shot a Britney Spears music mm-hmm. video where she does a press conference and she's like... Forget you. You're cool. I'm out. And then she like does a dance on a taxi cab.
Oh, they shoot a lot of commercials there too. Just constantly, just filming on a loop. Hey, that's man. Why a lot of people times when you go in, I don't like to go to Universal during the week because a lot of times the backlots are closed because they're actually functioning backlots. Yes, but if you go on the weekends, no one in Hollywood works on the weekend.
That's true.
Yeah.
All of Hollywood is closed right now.
It is all closed yeah. for Thanksgiving. So Jimmy Fallon, who we were talking about, James Fallon, was integrated into the attraction in 2011 as the host. Past hosts include Ron Howard and Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, it was Whoopi.
Yeah. I remember as a kid seeing her.
I think Ron Howard was around for a bit, too, and because he also was there to, like, talk about Backdraft. So I wish you could have gone
Backdraft?
On that.
Backdraft?
So Backdraft, I think we talked about this last week. It's the... show, it used to be where Transformers was, and you would go, and it was kind of similar to Twister in that it was like a not a ride but like a show you would watch.
Boring.
And things just
now.
Caught on fire.
This is boring.
It was just fire and then you fell by an inch. So now we're going to talk about the current ride events that are still there as of recording. Who knows now, because you know Nintendo Land is causing things in a disarray, it might be gone now, but according to the website, they're still there. So there's the Jurassic Park event, which is where the tram passes by sets and vehicles from a movie. You look confused. It's really not that, like, impressive.
I was about to say, when is
that? The spraying. So the dinosaurs are the Dilophosauruses that spray you, and they have those, you know, little, like... The things on the sides of their face. That's what that part is.
Oh, that's not a real part. Okay, go on.
But at night... when they used to have the nighttime tour, which I actually really loved, they have projections inside the van of, like, people being eaten by dinosaurs.
Oh.
So that made it a little bit more of an event. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, we'll take what we can get.
All right.
Oh, and I was looking at Google Maps, and the Fast and the Furious, the car thing, is still there.
It was so lame. No,
I was looking at Google Maps for so long last night.
Have you ever seen it?
I haven't seen, the Fast and the Furious thing.
It's so stupid.
Oh, yeah. It was... I said it's the most 2000s thing that has ever existed.
It's like, what was that song?
Gasolina?
Yeah. I was like, Senorita, something, Ida.
It was just so like, oh, sure, Jan. So then there's the Bates Motel and House, which has been around since 1964.
Which there's always a hot actor playing.
Isn't that like the general rule is like that actor is always like really good looking?
I'm like, you can murder me.
Yeah,
I'm fine
murder
with
me.
That. I'm like, murder me now. You know, I always feel bad for that actor because... I imagine that it doesn't smell great.
Yes.
In though that old stale room, mm-hmm. like, and how who's
it's kind of isolated. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of there by yourself and it's like, they might just forget about you.
Right. I don't.
I'll save you, Norman.
Yeah.
I'll save you.
With my kisses.
And he has to like keep carrying that fake dead body to the car. And,
do you think he talks to it like Wilson?
Yes. He just goes crazy. Eventually he's like, this is my girlfriend, Margarita.
Hey!
So the event, it's at the Bates Motel. Norman comes out. He's carrying a body to the car. He sees you, pulls a knife out, and chases after the tram. And then,
I'm like, come to me, my love.
And then Michelle and I jump out and try to cover him with kisses. And he's like, no, cut.
Stop.
Gross. So the hotel and motel are not at the original shooting locations on the back lot.
Oh.
They used to be next to Jaws Lake.
Oh.
So that's where it was originally. Oh. And they just moved it a little bit over to the side because they can.
Okay.
So do you want to know how the Norman thing started?
Sure.
So, because, yeah, remember, it wasn't around when we were kids. It's kind of a recent-ish thing.
Yeah.
So when Jim Carrey was filming Man on the Moon on the back lot, he used to dress up as Norman's mother and run after trams with a fake knife to, like, relieve stress. Because he's Jim Carrey and he just does weird things. Because of this, starting in 2008, Universal now has an actor dressed as Norman approach the tram. So it started because of Jim Carrey. So next is Flash Flood, which is a classic. It was built in 1968. It was the first event that they had, staged event.
The Big Fat Liar section.
Yeah, Big Fat Liar, yes.
Thank you. You just call it
I was
that.
Wondering why,
I don't know.
The part where the water comes down the hill.
The Big Fat Liar
section. Yeah, where Paul Giamatti and his dog, no, just Paul Giamatti, come down the hill. So the effect uses 10,000 gallons of water and two tanks. So one of the tanks... is at the top of the hill and comes down. The second tank is right at the base and it like splashes the water up and there's like pressure things that make the water explode.
Oh.
So it looks like it's making a bigger impact than it is.
Oh.
And then the water gets recycled because, you know, it's California. And there's rain and you feel like you're in a flash flood.
Oh.
And there used to be a tree that got knocked over and now it's a sign because the tree got uprooted during a real storm in 2009 and crashed through the set. Like, it is becoming real.
I feel so bad for Universal. I feel like they have every bad luck.
They really
thing.
Do.
Like fire, flood, locust.
That's why I think they use that in all their rides because they're like, this is our real life horror.
This is real.
Locust, fire, earth. Next, let's move on to the War of the Worlds set, which was established in 2005. Michelle is like, oh, brother.
Okay, I don't like this set because it's just like such a bummer of a movie.
Yes.
And it's like, it's just such a bummer. Like everything else,
mm-hmm.
not really. None of these are like happy Universal memories.
Yes.
They're like, remember when that shark ate you? Or when like, when the Desperate Housewives cheated on their husbands because they were unhappy? Or like, remember Saving Private Ryan? Like the only good thing is The Good Place.
That one I can get out of context. It's an impressive looking set.
I guess.
There's a big plane involved. So it replaced Falls Lake, which has now been moved. And they used a real Boeing 747. I put being Boeing 747. So I was looking at Google Maps last night because I heard that Google Earth, the set from Jurassic Park 3, which used to be a part of the tour, is now blocked by, and it's like basically rotting away. It's blocked by the Boeing 747. And if you look on Google Earth, it is. It's back there.
Really?
Yeah. It's just this whole set and this whole thing just kind of like rotting away behind the Boeing 747 that you can't see unless from maps.
Oh.
So I just kind of like that there's like a secret world.
I'm so glad you're a stalker.
I know. And I have nothing to do except for just look at Google Earth for far too long.
You should play Pokemon Sword and Shield. Pokemon Sword and Shield. Available now at Target.
At Target.
I only say that because I've been playing it.
It was fun to look at Google Earth because there was just lots of, like, there was this one field that they used to have that now has fallen to disrepair, and it's kind of to the far left of the Fast and the Furious ride. So there's a lot of the backlot that you don't actually see.
Oh.
That they just, it's concealed, the real backlot.
Conceal,
don't feel.
Feel
the backlot. So next, okay, sit back and relax, because now we're going to talk about Jaws, which was opened in 1976. It was actually opened April 10th, 1976. Michelle is not a fan of Jaws. I'm obsessed with him because he scares me.
Yeah, but like
me.
Negatively. You're not like, I'm obsessed with the movie.
He is the scariest thing in the world to me.
Oh,
so as I said earlier, the original Psycho House and Bates Motel were originally built next to this lake, but they were moved later because
mm-hmm.
they're like, we have this blockbuster movie. But the Universal's like, we got one.
Hooray.
So the Jaws, you'll like this fact. The Jaws animatronic was developed by Bob Matty, who was the Imagineer who helped develop the animatronics for Jungle Cruise.
Okay, yeah. I like that fact.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
okay.
He did Jungle Cruise and developed, like, the technology to, like, get them up and out of the water.
Yeah, because I think you talked about it in the Jaws episode where they're talking about the the thrust.
Yes.
Like, there's a bunch of science that has to go into. That's a really good episode.
That
I know this
episode.
Sounds like shameful self-promotion, but, like, you did a really good job on that
you.
Jaws episode.
Yeah, was it the Jaws ET episode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Michelle's favorite.
There's
it
a reason I don't do, there's a reason I don't do the research anymore, guys. It's because Jasmine's actually good at it, and I'm like, there was this ride that was there.
It was cool.
Yep.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So he made the shark for the movie, and then so they used that same mold and made the shark for the body, not for the head,
mm-hmm.
And made that for Universal. So it's like seeing the grandchild of the shark from the movie, but it's not the shark from the movie.
Oh.
So over the years, the shark has evolved in appearance. The first version, which was nicknamed Carrot Tooth,
had a goatee
and a beret.
Oh.
And liked bongos.
Oh.
So they tried to make it resemble the movie poster, but it looked really cartoonish in real life. I encourage you, I'll try to post some pictures. He had just big long teeth and just looked like a cartoon, like someone drew a cartoon, but it was still scary.
Okay.
This was around from 1976 to 1978 because it was so cheesy. And it, like, it just kind of came out of the water and was like, mah, mah, like, opened its mouth, like, mah, mah, So the second version of Jaws lasted from 1978 till 1996, and it was made less cartoonish and had black eyes. So this is the version that's like probably the most classic version of Jaws, the one we remember from our youth and all the Universal posters. Mm-hmm. And then so the third and current version was implemented in 2001. So I don't...
What's the difference?
This one, I think... All they made it a little sleeker, and they added fire. When I was reading the notes, they're like, they added fire. I'm like, yeah, but what does that have to do with the shark? I don't
know. They added fire to the shark.
They did. The shark is like, fire. Yeah,
he's from Fire Island.
I think the second one and the first one turned its head towards the audience. Oh. But now this one just goes straight on because they're like, we got to make it more realistic. Oh, okay. Shaws don't turn and perform. Every time I watch the videos to help me get through them, I make him talk. So I have him come out of the water and go, hi, guys. Hi. What are you doing? He's that really annoying guy that you're like, I don't want to hang out with you. He's like, hey, guy, what's up? What are you doing? Going to a party after? That's cool. You don't have to invite me. That's fine. So I'm busy.
Like, oh, okay, Jaws.
And it's really interesting that it goes forward and then it stops and then it just slowly goes back into the water. I've watched that part. For some reason, that I can handle. Just watching him slowly go back into the water.
It's like, oh, I'll be back.
I will be back. They take him out every night and repair him. So every night they dock him. They like lift him up out of the water. And he's just like, hey, guys, what's up?
Really?
Yeah. And they repair him every night. Yeah. Huh. Because I guess it can't be submerged indefinitely. So maybe when Chidi fell into the water, Jaws wasn't in the water, so it was okay. Yeah. And if you look at, once again, Google Earth, you can see, like, the tracks of, like, this is where the fin is and, like, yes. So George the Fisherman was a part of the original attraction until 2001. So there was a boat, and it would get dragged underwater, and the blood exploded out. So now it's a similar idea. They have the police diver, though. So when you see the police diver, that was George the Fisherman, but the whole boat would go under.
Trust George the Fisherman.
Yes. I remember George the Fisherman, and the whole boat went under, and it was just, like, it was clearly, like, this is a mannequin. I could handle that part. I always close my eyes when it moves forward and it stops in the second point. So there's like a first point you hit, then there's a second point. Close your eyes on that second point because Jaws is going to come out of the water. Spoilers. So in the movie Jaws, there's the boat that they're on is called the Orca. The original orca from the movie was used as a part of this attraction from 1976 till 1996. Mm. Steven Spielberg used to hang out on the orca when he was filming on the back lot. Just to, like, get away and, like, escape and remember his roots and his greatness.
Oh.
And he just goes in there and goes, me. But then in 2000, the orca was trashed because it was rotting and sinking. Oh. So they made the movie. They sold the boat because they're like, this movie's a dud. This is not going to make any money. Turns into, like, the highest grossing film of all time at the time. So then they bought the orca back, and then so that was there.
That's so funny.
There was also Ben Gardner's fishing boat. That was there. That lasted a little longer, but that eventually was gone. They used to theme it a lot more to the movie, but now it's not quite as much anymore because people don't remember the movie. Now
I was just about to say, how long do you think until we get a Jaws reboot?
Oh, I don't know. Because how can you, like, I mean, you could make it look really cool, but, like, I don't know. I think that's one they won't touch as long as Steven Spielberg's alive.
Really?
Yeah, I have a feeling he would, like, he has power still. Like, over my dead body!
When you said power, I meant, like magic power? Yes, like he's Elsa? A sorcerer.
He is a snow queen. So the tramway also used to tilt. So when I was a kid, I remember the tram used to tilt because Jaws would pull away. He would basically pull the, what do you call it, the dock away. And your tram would tilt towards the shark so you could see him better. But they stopped this effect in 2010. And then they replaced it with a solid roadway in 2014. So Jaws is obviously, it's famous. I don't think they'll ever get rid of it just because it's such a, even out of context, it's still like a shark's coming after me. So, yeah. You know, people enjoy it. So next, this might be actually my favorite thing. I know I keep saying that. It's my favorite current thing is Earthquake, which started in 1989. The effects. It's just very, Michelle's giving me a weird look. It's just very effective.
I'm giving you a weird look. I stand by my weird look.
It simulates an 8.3 earthquake, and it only takes 15 seconds to reset itself between trams. So you're going on, and they're acting like it's a hot set. And then you're in a subway station, and then all of a sudden there's an earthquake, and, like, a truck falls down very slowly towards you. A subway breaks apart with no people inside. On the right, there's, like, electricity, so it's, like, there's water. And, of course, like any good Universal attraction, there's water everywhere and explodes at you.
And you're dark, and there's fire.
Yes, and there's fire, and Jaws. because that's the earthquake. Mm-hmm. So next we have Whoville, which started in 2000. So it was the original Whoville was originally built where the War of the Worlds set is now, but it moved after filming. And for Grinchmas, a show with live actors is put on for the tram. They've been doing this, I think, since 2000. And they constantly have to repair that set because it wasn't meant for outdoor long-term display.
Yeah, I think it was made out of... It looks like styrofoam.
Yeah.
My friend Penny was in that movie.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, she was. I think she played the tuba or the glockenspiel.
Oh.
But yeah, she was in it. And then I did a show with her at Universal.
Mm. Were you in Grinchmas?
No.
Oh, okay.
At
Florida?
Yeah, in Florida.
Okay. So that one, it's just interesting that it wasn't meant to be there forever, but Universal's just like, look, we spent a lot of money on this. Just leave it here. That's kind of Universal's theme is just leave it here.
It's fine.
It's fine. So next we have King Kong 360, which started in 2011. It's fine. I'm not into the motion-based attractions.
I want to see real things. Yes. I look at a screen all immersive. Day long. Yeah. I look at a screen all day long. My phone, my computer, my Sims. Mm-hmm. I want to see something real.
I get it. It's cheap, but like, come on, Universal. So the 3D attraction was created to replace the original King Kong after it burned down in 2008. When it was built, this was the largest 3D screen in the world. And it consists, so on either side of the tram, it's basically you go in and like the track moves a bit and King Kong's having a battle around you. There's 280 foot long screens that are 40 feet tall. It just, I mean, at least I, like the Fast and Furious Supercharge ride at Orlando is worse because they are trying to pass that off as a ride. But it's just disappointing that the original King Kong was so immersive and so impressive. And you'll never have a screen-based attraction that's as realistic as actually seeing things. You just can't fool people that as cool as it is, as technologically advanced as it is, it's just cooler to see something actually be there. So next is Falls Lake. So Falls Lake has actually been around since 1926. It's a large outdoor lake and water tank. They filmed... Anytime you see, like, a large body of water in a movie, it's almost always that. The old Falls Lake was around from 1926 till 1986 and is now occupied by the Jurassic Park set that I had mentioned earlier. And so it can't be seen from the tram tour. But so now the new one has a big, large screen in the back that they put for Jaws the Revenge. And they used it in Bruce Almighty as well. They shot a lot of Bruce Almighty on that back lot, or at least it's in the tour a lot. It has 2.7 million gallons of water in the tank, so it's big. I think it's been empty for a while. Currently on Google Earth, it's empty. So that's the tram tour. So now, Michelle, do you have any thoughts on the tram tour? Any memories?
No. I do it very sparingly because it is very long. And it's also like, look at this thing. It's a thing.
It was a thing, but it is no more.
Yeah. And it's like a bunch of movies that I have no emotional attachment to. Mm-hmm. The most exciting thing is The Good Place.
Mm. Oh, do you like the Back to the Future set?
And I like Back to the Future, but it's not Back to the Future anymore.
It's true. Yeah. They have like the gas station there, but they redressed it. So it's not a gas station anymore.
Right. So it's like, look at this thing that you love that we made worse. It's like, thank you.
I do like the VIP tour because in it you got to walk around the sets and that was cool.
Maybe we should do that.
We should. It's like $300 though, but you get to go.
For how many people?
Per person.
What?
Yeah. And it's you get to go. You get your own special like for only 20 people tram tour. You get to go in the front of the line on all the rides and then you get to go in like the prop houses. But a lot of those things I've done like working for film. So like now going in the prop house is not as exciting for me. So, you know, but I did enjoy it. So, yeah, how much is it per day?
I'm like,
okay.
$349.
Oh, yeah, $349. I enjoyed it, but my mom gave it to me as a gift years ago, and I think it was not nearly as expensive.
Light snack and refreshment. Oh, gourmet meal and exclusive VIP dining room, valet parking.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like having a Plaid. Is what it's akin to. It's like you have a person with you all day who lets you to the front of lines.
That's cool.
Or at least it was when I went on this over 10 years ago. I love the tram tour, obviously. It still holds. I cared more about the actual filming parts of the tram tour as opposed to like Jaws and like all the like recreate. The earthquake one is fun. I wish my dream is to walk around the houses street because I don't think we got to walk around there. It would just be cool to like go in and be like, they filmed this here and take some pictures there and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's just it. Because I do like classic Hollywood cinema. So if you like current movies, it's not that exciting. But classic Hollywood cinema, it's mwah. And also, I feel like they hype up the Fast and Furious thing too much. And they have that Dodge Charger that, like, that starts it off. And then, like, they build that to that whole event way more than they should.
You mean the thing of the girls dancing?
No, so, like, as you're on the tour, you see this, like, car that I guess is a car from the movie. And then, like, The Rock calls you and they're, like...
On the phone?
On the tram videos. Or, no, it's this one guy who's an agent. It's, like, look out
for... He FaceTimes me?
Yeah, he FaceTimes you on the tram thing.
So confused.
And they're, like, there's a whole backstory of, like, you're on the tram, there's a guy who is in witness protection program. And this guy's going to kill him. And then Vin Diesel comes... Or The Rock comes on. He's, like, go hide in this building, in this warehouse. And then you go in. And then Vin Diesel's, like, our family will protect you. And then you go on.
Because our family is thick as thieves.
No, you're showing too much emotion, Michelle.
Sorry.
And then you go and there's dancing girls and you interrupt a party and then you hide and then there's a chase sequence and Vin Diesel jumps onto the back of a helicopter and then Gaston is a bad guy, I guess, and he goes after you.
Luke Wilson is in it?
Not Luke Wilson. The guy who played Gaston in
really?
The live action Beauty and the Beast.
Now I want to see it again.
Yes, yeah.
He's in a Fast and Furious film?
Yeah, in one of the films and then in the show as well. Or in we'll have to go now.
He just came out with a singing album.
Oh.
It's quite good.
Oh, I've got your attention now.
Yes. I was not paying attention for a while. I'm like, oh, yes, Evan Almighty is a great. She's like, I said Bruce. I'm like, mm-hmm. And now you're like, oh, the guy from Beauty and the Beast. I'm like, what?
You have my attention now.
Yes.
Well, here's something else that might get your attention. Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear about all the backlot fires that have been around over the years?
Only if you mention that there was an episode of 30 Rock where they talk about it very briefly.
What is the quote? We were trying to figure that out.
Okay, so Devin and
one of the executives.
One of the executives who's very gay.
NBC executive.
You have to know that. It's very important.
Yes.
He's talking to Jack Donaghy, another NBC.
But he's trying to keep it a secret, but I think at this point, is he out yet?
I don't know.
He tries to marry, like, the CEO's daughter, but he's gay.
He's super gay. Yeah. I was going to say bar mitzvah at his bachelor party.
Yes. He's like, I like girls so much.
Yes. I love their lack of Adam's apple. Yeah. So he, actually, you don't have to know that he's gay. I just like telling people that Devin Banks is gay because he's so funny.
At a restaurant.
Oh. Remember when he had the really short bathrobe?
Yes.
He's like, I cut it myself. Oh, my.
That's a short robe. Wait, what's the quote, though?
It was like, he's talking about how Universal is failing. Mm-hmm. NBC, Universal, Kmart.
Shinehart Wig Corporation.
Because all those fires... Those Universal fires didn't burn down any of the things you wanted it to.
Well, there is this big rumor. I cut it out of the last episode because I got scared. But I won't cut it out of this one, or maybe I will. There's a conspiracy theory that some, if not all, of the Universal fires may have not been accidental. Some of them were actually set by arsonists. So, obviously, those were purposeful, but just, like, that it was done for insurance purposes. I haven't researched other backlot fires, so I don't know if backlots just catch on fire a lot. But there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fires over the years. Over a 100-year period, but still, like, it's a lot.
How many fires have there been at Disneyland?
I don't know. Like, fires that, like, destroy half of Disneyland.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, like, little fires all the time. But, yeah, we're talking about fires that, like, destroy... lives. So the first fire was in 1932 and it destroyed 4 movie sets. So in 1949, 3 buildings burned down in the western area. 1957, an acre, let that sink in, of sets were destroyed, including the theater set on the New York streets, and it was considered a landmark. The last movie to shoot there was My Man Godfrey, the 1957 remake with David Niven.
Who? What? Yeah. My Man Godfrey?
Oh,
like Gilbert Gottfried?
Oh, you need to, that's one of my favorite movies. I think you'd really like it. It's one of the best movies of all time. It's about...
Is Gilbert Gottfried in it?
No, Gilbert Gottfried is not in it. It was made before his parents were probably even born. It's a movie about this guy who went to Harvard, and he was really rich, but he decides to rebel against his parents, and he lives as a homeless man for a while because he just, like, doesn't want their money, so he's trying to, like, make it on his own. So it's during the Great Depression, and he gets hired as a butler for a family, but they don't know that he's, like, I guess that's a spoiler, that he's, like, secretly this rich guy. And then the daughter, like, falls in love with him, and Carol Lombard's in it, and she's, like, it's one of the best. You'll love her. Like, you'll fall in love with her.
Okay.
She gives, like, a delightful performance. So in 1967, so for a while, it was literally every 10 years, like, to the year. 1967, the fire destroyed Little Europe, Denver Street, and Laramie Street. This one, a lot of sets were rebuilt because of this that are still there. Mm-hmm. 1987, burned Spartacus Square and four additional buildings. 1990, so 3 years later, destroyed a fifth of the standing sets, and this was a result of arson. So I guess a security guard took a lighter and lit some of the sets and destroyed literally one-fifth of the backlot sets.
How did they know?
I don't
know. I'm always fascinated by people who can say, like, oh, this fire was by a candle, or this fire was by...
Oh, they always know. It's like the all the fires, they actually know how all of them started. That's except crazy. Maybe not, like, the ones in 32. Yeah. There's forensic people that are like, oh, this started from a candle that a horse kicked over in a barn.
So crazy.
1997, there was a fire that was a result of a chemical fire, actually. And then the most recent fire was, this is the controversial fire.
Oh.
So 2008, it destroyed the King Kong set event, the parts of Courthouse Square, but not the courthouse.
Thank God.
It literally burned all around, but not the courthouse.
That's so funny.
And they're saying, like, it looked so majestic, like, rising amongst the ashes. New York streets, New England streets, the video vaults, and recently it was discovered in an expose that, so this fire happened over 10 years ago, and this expose, I think, came out in the last year. 175,000 master audio tapes were destroyed. So a lot of these artists, they told them, oh, yeah, we have your master tapes, they're fine, and then they found out, oh, no, they burned. So
why does it matter if you have the masters?
A master tape is basically, like, if they ever want to, like, let's say, like, Bob Dylan records a song, and he's like, I want to update it, I want to make it, like, digital, you can't do that anymore. So it's the original recordings.
But don't they have it on, like, CD?
Mm-mm. They literally don't have backups of anything.
No, but...
Mm-hmm. They have it on CD, but you can't remaster the CD. You have to remaster the originals.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's basically, and there was like a Robin Williams movie they thought they lost the original to, but they were able to find it. Basically, Universal doesn't back anything up. So they have one copy of all these things, and it's like, you'll still have the song, like, it's on CD, but they can never, like, if technology changes, they can't, like, improve it with the new technology.
So that's, like, the basic form. So there's, like, the purest form, and then you turn it into a cassette or turn it into a TV. So,
yeah.
Or CD. Mm-hmm. So this is the most basic form.
Yeah, the most basic form. So, like, if they ever want to, like, let's say there's a future technology, they want to update it, make it sound better for that technology, they can't. They basically have to take the recording that previously existed and mess with it. So a lot of artists are upset.
Ooh.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, I can't re-record that, or, like, this is, like, yeah, it's like their babies, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and Universal lied about it, and it's this whole, this recent expose, and it's very interesting. I encourage you to read up on it. So, final thoughts on the Tram Tour Universal Backlot. I like
You're very passionate about it.
I'm very passionate about it.
And it sparked joy for me that you got to do double episodes on it.
I know! I mean, I originally was going to do one episode on it, but it was, like, I didn't want it to be a 3-hour episode, and I wanted to cover it as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to go experience it at least once, especially if you like movies. When I go to Universal, I literally go on it 2 times every time.
I want to go on it with you.
Okay.
I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, because I know more than the tour guides. I don't like...
And I don't know anything.
It's now because, like, they have the host and, like, the Jimmy Fallon thing. It's a lot of the facts are kind of... Like, it's like when the Great Movie Ride, when they added, like, Robert
TCM.
Osborne. Yeah, yeah, TCM. It kind of, like... took out a lot of the originality of it. I like, there's a lot of facts there. There's even more of a rich history, but I get that a lot of people don't care about it. I wish they had, like, one tour a week that was, like, for movie buffs. Hollywood in general is not as exciting anymore for most people because anything they filmed there was filmed 30 years ago. They don't have a lot of current stuff. It is where a lot of movie stars live still, but it's just not as
exciting. Well, yeah, because everything is...
Yeah. All the auditions and, like, production studios are here, but they don't film here. Like, all the Marvel movies are shot in Atlanta.
Right.
Because it's just too expensive. They don't offer any tax breaks here.
Right.
Or they're shot in Canada. Because I think Canada, they'll give you, like, half the production budget, but you have to hire almost all Canadian people.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So, but it just sucks for the people who are the workers here who can't
get
hired.
They filmed some Agent Carter there.
Yeah. They also filmed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the Universal backlot.
Hmm.
Yeah. They didn't film Agent Carter, though. Maybe they did. But
they did.
Oh, they did?
Season 2, my ex worked on it.
Oh.
Did I date him because he made eye contact with Haley Atwell?
You made contact with Haley Atwell.
I did. I actually watched that. We bought a new TV. It's Black Friday, and we bought a new TV, and the first thing I did was watch our encounter with Haley Atwell.
Because I was just happened to be standing in the audience, and Michelle was up there, so I filmed it for her.
It's pretty great. It's one of my favorite videos of all time.
I enjoyed it. And then I was just like, Dale, give me the autograph, and he didn't. He didn't feel my yelling at him.
Well, he sucks.
So, you know who doesn't suck?
Our patrons!
Our patrons! Danny, David, Jennifer, Lauren, Tiffany, and Wynette. Thank you. We love you.
Sorry again, I slept through our Google Hangout.
She still loves you. If you would like to be our Patreon, please go to www.patreon.com/1313harbor the podcast. Or you can go to our website, and there's links there to basically everything I'm going to mention, www.1313harborthepodcast.com. I'm just very proud of that www because we didn't have it for a long time. We have Instagram, 1313harbor, the podcast, Twitter, 1313harbor. I always wonder if Disney ever wanted to, like, open, like, a geographical Twitter, they'd have to buy that from us.
No, they wouldn't, because they would just make it 1313. Oh, wait, ours is
1313harbor. Yeah, the Twitter. Yeah.
1313harbor, the Twitter, owned by Jasmine and Michelle.
That's us. So I think that, oh, please go, you can find us anywhere, please subscribe, you can listen to us anywhere you get your favorite podcast, write and review, that really helps us a lot, and I just love reading them, give us 5 stars, please, I mean, you don't have to, but, like, we appreciate it, I always love a good review. Oh, we also have shirts, Orlando Paris of the South shirts that come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors. They're not having a Black Friday special, but we are having a special till the end of the year. If you use the code Orlando, you get $3 off. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll go back to regular. I think next week we're going to start doing Christmas things. I just love a good history episode. So
no, I loved it. I'm glad that you got to do it. I'm so sorry that I'm not
engaged.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm so sorry. I just don't like watch movies or understand them unless they're Disney movies. So I'm like, of course I saw Frozen 2 immediately. And have you seen it yet?
No. They've shot a lot of Disney movies on that back lot. Not Bette Midler's The Lottery, but.
Did they shoot Beauty and the Beast?
They didn't shoot Beauty and the Beast there.
Did they shoot Frozen there?
They didn't shoot Frozen there, no. But people who worked on Frozen have eaten lunch there. a lot of the live action ones, they shot Casper there. Yeah, they shot
I'm almost scared to watch that movie again because I liked it so much. I don't want to be like, oh no,
it's still pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely cheesy.
Some movies don't hold up when you watch them again. Like, for me, Hocus Pocus doesn't. I loved it so much as a kid, and now as an adult, like, I watched part of it and I was like, I'm just gonna turn this off and savor my memories.
I still like it just because I adore Bette Midler with every fiber of my being.
Well, she was in The Lottery.
Yeah, she was. Bette Midler's The Lottery. Her name's in the title.
That's right.
So thank you for listening. If you have any episode requests, email us at 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com.
Or contact us on our website.
Or contact us on our website. Yeah, we like recommendations. Those episodes tend to do well.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting up with me and letting me do Universal Backlot Tour. I've been wanting to do this since the beginning.
It sparked so much joy for her.
I've had the notes for months, and I wanted to, like, dedicate enough time to it.
And
so
you did.
I did. So to all who come to this happy podcast, welcome!